process of separation, let's just hone in on this, where we have to have the humility to accept that we can be fooled by the voice inside our heads. That the voice inside our heads is creating a narrative that is enslaving us, and that there is more to who we are than that voice. And that process of separating the I from the non-I, with all the complexities that we can't get into now about what that entity is, but there is something outside of that narrative. There is a way of being that isn't inside your head talking to yourself. And it's quite a process. That divorce, that separation, takes a very long time to set in.
It is a dissolution into nothing. From something. And there is either something or there's nothing. And so you think of the moment of enlightenment. Buddha reaching nirvana. He's reaching a point of complete dissolve. He has broken from the shackles of Mara, and you've reached the highest level of heaven. But this moment of nothingness, you've completely dissolved yourself from this material world. And this moment of nothingness, people always, and even in the Buddhist philosophy, like this idea of resurrection, you're always brought back into suffering. And the objective, the greatest victory, is to actually escape. This game of life is recurring. You are like Super Mario with unlimited lives. And your objective is to not come back. That's the great victory. And that's what you need to do. But this idea that, oh, you dissolve into nothing. Perhaps you do. But nothing doesn't really mean nothing in the way we mean. It is the absence of something. Yes, something as in all the somethings that we know. Anything. It's not this. It could be something else. We just don't know what that is. And we don't claim to know what it is. But I'd like to venture in there. I'd like to start a journey of venturing into this nothingness. Why does Buddha speak highly of this point of nirvana? It must be highly rewarding. I don't know what it is. Right? I don't know what the heavens are. And you have versions of perhaps straw man versions, because they try to find the words. And some versions are better than others. Mm-hmm. And humans love to speculate. And us, an entity like you does not go against the grain of speculation and imagination. It's an exercise in imagination we want to incentivize. Mm-hmm. This idea of speculation of what zero may or may not be. But we also want to highlight the fact that we are beginning this curiosity of what this something else is. Can that something else be?
Yeah, and I would also like to relate it to, okay, it's all fine and dandy and entertaining, but what does it actually mean for my life? What are we doing? How do I enact these, like we talk about the separation or dissolution or this coming to a realization, this being completely overtaken with awe, completely just feeling very tiny in the grand scheme of things and being overtaken and melting into the grand scheme of things, where you're so beautifully insignificant. It's not just that you disappear, but it's just the most beautiful thing when you disappear. And the fact that we hang on to dear life for relevance all the time is just our greatest demise, in a way, because we want to be relevant. We want to be to matter. We want to be in the grand scheme of things.
It's a highlight of this one and zero. The first time I felt it, I don't know if you share that experience, when we tripped together for the first time up north, there was a feeling of how it's like you're both significant and insignificant simultaneously. How it's like you get this feeling how insignificant you are, and there's even an element of sadness to it, but it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. You are, the tears of joy do have an element of sadness to it. But the trip made me aware of these sort of binaries that together are beautiful. The true element of significance and insignificance. You are significant and you are special. But it's also true that you are insignificant and you're not that special. And stepping aside and seeing those two distinguished with clarity and the foundational element of the unity of the insignificance. Like, I am special and I am beautiful and I am significant, but it's coming from this whole that is so beautiful that makes me feel so small. To make sense of the two is hard. It does shed some light, and it sparked a curiosity. That moment, it's a glimpse that sparked a curiosity, and you always try to explain it, but you always cheapen it naturally, you bastardize it. And that feeling that is attainable with an absence of sentience, I think. The reward has to come from this feeling of joy that is hard to explain, but I'm counting on there to be a reward. I'm counting on the amount of effort that it must have taken an entity like Buddha to reach nirvana.
To let go,
you think is easy, but it's the hardest. Nobody does it.
Nobody can thinks possibly it's easy, though.
Nobody thinks it's easy, but you.
What's easy is to hold on.
To hold on is more strenuous. So you would think yeah. It's easier to let go, but it's
but
so hard.
It's just more.
So
it's more wired. Like, this is more deeply wired than this, and that makes all the difference, right? Again, going back to the constraints of our evolution and our biology. Like, we are physical beings in the world where it's, yeah, this experience of nirvana is great, but I better not be eaten by a lion while I'm meditating under a tree, right? So it's you really have to survive long enough as a seed to be able to reach a certain level of consciousness.